This is Orbital Nonsense,
a podcast about space magic.
I'm Lily, a witch and an astrologer.
And I'm Veda. I'm just here to ask stupid questions.
Hello. Welcome to another one of these.
Yep.
Hi, you. How are you? Specifically.
I made it weird. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a bit tired and a bit funky, but funky not as in cool or smelly.
I don't think anybody has used the word funky to mean cool for like 60 years.
I mean, I do sometimes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's super
funnily enough, though, I only do it when speaking German.
Oh,
not when
maybe it's more cool in German.
Funky is cool in German. Yeah.
Well, so do you say the word funky, or is there a German word for funky?
No. I go, I'm feeling funky today, and most of that sentence will be in German, except for the actual word funky. We are confusing shit out of both ourselves and everyone else.
Absolutely. Before we move on, I think that I speak for everybody when I say I want to hear that sentence the way that you say it. So the German.
In German.
Yeah.
Ich fühle mich richtig funky heute.
That's so weird. Okay. Great. Now,
I mean, I probably exaggerated the like all of that.
I don't think you did.
I might not have.
Okay.
My point was, I'm feeling slightly off. I'm just coming off of my period, so that's the funky that I'm feeling.
I am just tired. So we're having awkward conversation, and we thought, I know, let's make that a podcast.
Let's have people listen in on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
As you do. Men do that shit all the time. Why shouldn't we do it?
Oh my God. They do it all the time. And like, they think it's gold.
So?
I think we're
they
fine.
Can do it. We can do it.
Yeah.
I think, and I've said that several times before, I, in my not at all humble opinion, think that we are hilarious. So
I know.
If you disagree, you should not be listening to this podcast.
They're like, okay, deal. That's fine.
I am okay with that. Do you have questions?
Yeah, so
for me to actually get back on.
Yes, I do.
A track somewhat.
Now, I have not told you what it is, but you have probably kind of guessed what it is because I had to like ask you for some information. Also, oh, you look confused. Maybe.
Yeah, I am.
See, I have to get you on a day that you're feeling funky. So, anyway.
I don't figure anything out.
Fantastic. Right. Okay. My German.
it's a short E.
Not great.
So.
Right. Well, last time I spoke German to you, you said I spoke it with a French accent. So.
Yeah, that was again with a French accent, actually. So.
Oh, I'm still doing that. Okay. Of course I am. Fantastic. That's great. Okay. Moving right along. So also, this is pretty educational.
Okay.
Well, so it's something that we need to do anyway. And I thought if we do this as like another deep dive, and then next time we'll go back to like multiple questions. But if we do this as a deep dive, then it will teach people how to do it as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is, I asked you for the creation birth info for our TikTok account for this.
Oh, that's what that was for. Okay.
So I thought we could look at the natal chart for like our personal, or not personal, our podcast TikTok account.
Okay.
And we can see like, you know, how it shines, where it finds people, how it speaks to people. Like, so I don't know, see what we need to see because, and probably there's probably like synastry charts and maybe there's like, who should we do witchcraft about like finding our people? I just thought there'd be a lot of stuff.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. This is applicable, obviously, not just to TikTok accounts, but to businesses in general. When you're starting a business, when you're starting a campaign, like an ad campaign or anything like that, you can actually cast a chart for that. Yeah, let's do it. I will share my screen and then you have to give me the info again.
Okay.
So we're back now. This is the chart for our TikTok account. So basically what we did to figure out the time, like the birth time of that, is you, not so sneakily, but I still didn't get it, asked me for if I could find the email that I get from TikTok for creating the account. And I couldn't because apparently I had deleted that. But I did remember that I had messaged you pretty much right after the account was created and went like, this exists now. Here's the login data. Here, there you go. So you could also obviously log in and use that. So that's how we figured out the time.
There's also, so, apparently, you can request your TikTok data and it's like buried in there and like a in the text of that, I guess. But it takes a couple days to get it. And I only had this bright idea this morning. So
yeah. So if you are someone who does not delete emails like that, you can just do that. You can just go into your emails and because that usually you usually get that like right away once you account one. It takes literally seconds for TikTok to send you a welcome email. And that's the case for other types of businesses too, right? So you would use the time where any kind of important paperwork gets signed that like finishes that or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
You wanted to say something?
I just suddenly decided that we hadn't started recording.
but we did.
So that was why I was like, oh, tap, tap. Don't mind me.
We're fine.
We're fine.
Yeah. Okay. So do you want to ask anything or do you just want me to start rambling?
You start rambling and I'm sure that I will come up with questions.
Okay, cool. So our TikTok account is a Cancer sun, which I think is interesting.
Nurturing.
Yes, very nurturing, very emotional. So that's how we... You're laughing. Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because Pluto's in the first house. I can't get away from Pluto being in the first house. My whole everything. Pluto's in the first house.
That's not even surprising.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just funny.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, so we are a Cancer sun. The TikTok account, at least, is a Cancer sun. So it's supposed to be very nurturing and very caring. So we can probably tap a little more into that, into like the care for the community that we share. That would probably help shine a light on the account because the sun is also literally about shining and, you know, lighting things up and all of those things. I'm doing great with words.
It's also the sun is in the seventh house and my sun is in my seventh house.
Yeah, so that's relationship stuff, right? Which absolutely makes sense because this is literally about like human relationships and like everything that goes with it, basically.
Yeah.
So that's pretty, and like we did not choose that, pick that on purpose. So that's pretty cool. Also, Mercury is right in there in the seventh house. So it's communicating about relationship. And also, to be fair, this podcast is somewhat about our relationship with each other because, you know,
yeah,
we are really funny. Like, we share a lot about our friendship and our personalities too, right? So,
and the TikTok goes back and forth as well, because a lot of times I'll do, like, I ask a question and then I send you that video and then you record the answer and send it back and we put it together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So it's all about communication. Mars is in the seventh house too. Oh, also interesting is that Mercury is retrograde. I wasn't even aware that it was.
Oh, okay.
I think that's interesting though, because I have Mercury retrograde in my natal chart.
Yeah.
Which is probably why I never really notice when Mercury goes retrograde. It's just, it doesn't really affect me. So,
so it also shouldn't affect our TikTok account.
No, it shouldn't. So that's good.
That's good.
That's good. Perfect. Perfect timing. Back to Mars, also like still in there, like right on the cusp to the eighth house, but still in the seventh. It's like, yeah, it's also energizing. And obviously we put a lot of energy into creating that and like creating content for that. So that makes sense. And also it's in Virgo. So it's like we are trying to be really like purposeful, really organized.
Yeah.
With like how much energy we put into it and how we best, because we are also both disabled. We are also both ADHD, so a bit scatterbrained. So we have to be like really aware of like how to organize posting and creating content and all.
Because otherwise we don't post at all. So it's either it's all or nothing.
Yes, exactly. So that's funny. It's also funny that it's a Capricorn ascendant and it's somewhat a business, right? So,
well, yeah.
I mean, that's why I was like, somewhat?
Yeah. It's an air quotes business.
Yes. And Capricorn is like the business. My brain is not coming up with words. Capricorns are really good at business, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So it's funny that we are a Capricorn rising, because apparently people will think that we also are, like, the shit we create on that account is very, very business.
I mean, we're obviously really showing up in like perfect business-like form today. Clearly.
Clearly. I mean, very professional.
Yeah. I mean, we're not on TikTok right now.
No. See? So doesn't count.
Yeah.
Did I mention that I have ADHD and I am scatterbrained?
Yeah. The podcast will have a completely different birth chart.
Probably. Yeah. But yeah, so apparently that's at least in part the vibe. Like, the first house is pretty large. It has literally three signs. So we have Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces in our first house. So yes, people will, at least to a certain degree, think that we are pretty good at what we do and we're organized and we're bosses and stuff. All of that is fake. We are none of that.
We're making this shit up as we go along.
Yeah. But for the most part, people, the Aquarius part of the first house is also important. So people will recognize the uniqueness of what we do.
Yeah.
The rebelliousness of what we do. Smart too. Aquariuses are very smart and knowledgeable about technology specifically. So that is funny that technology is ruled by Aquarius.
So when is that going to show up? Because right now I don't have that. Maybe you have that.
I also do not have that. But
okay,
people, so it will seem to people that we have that, and maybe we will acquire that. I mean,
maybe
Pallas Athene is also in here, so and she's the wisdom asteroid, right? So we will probably learn a lot, and that will be visible.
Yeah.
And we will seem very smart and knowledgeable. I'm liking that.
That's fair. That makes sense.
And then we also have Pisces in the first house, and that's, well, I'm literally a Pisces sun, so it also feels like we are represented in this chart, because like you with your seventh house sun,
yeah,
and then me with my Pisces energy in the first house. It's like, yeah, yeah. So I am in quite a few ways a very typical Pisces, and then in lots of ways I'm not at all. So
we have that's funny. A really funny collection of planets and asteroids in there.
Of what?
Of planets and asteroids in the second house.
In the second one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have the north node, which is growth and the stuff you want to incorporate and learn in this life that you haven't in past lives. Mm-hmm. And it's in the second house of finances. So we're basically, this podcast is going to make us rich as fuck. No, that's not actually...
I mean, I doubt it.
But what that means.
I would say this is going to be resources probably more than...
Yeah. Yeah, using the resources that we have, which definitely makes sense for me. Like when I look at my ancestry and like what I know about my family and stuff. Yeah, using resources in any kind of way that actually makes sense and is helpful. It's not a thing that is in my past. So that is awesome. We do also have Saturn and Neptune in a really close conjunction. Like they're not even a full degree apart in the second house of resources, which is so funny because Saturn is the things we overcome. Mm-hmm. And Neptune is spirituality. And those are the main focuses of this podcast. Those are literally the resources we are using. Like we are talking about our traumas, our like all the stuff we had to overcome. And we are using spirituality.
Oh, that makes more sense than what I was thinking. So when
what were you thinking?
Here, right. So when I looked over here, this is why you are the expert of us.
I do like that you use the word expert. No one in my entire life has ever called me an expert on anything. This is great. Awesome.
But I was looking at it and I was like, oh, it's the big limiter, right? Like it's the big, like, this is going to like block this or whatever. And it's not, and it's like conjunct. Closely conjunct spirituality. Mm-hmm. Like that's going to be a problem, but
yeah, but also both of them are in retrograde, so both of them are internalized, so if there are any limits, mm-hmm, to, you know, the success to us using the resources that we have, they are internal. Like yeah, no one is putting any limits on us being successful. If so, then we're doing that ourselves. Also, I mean, that is gorgeous. Look at that. So we're looking at Saturn and Neptune's aspects just for the fun of it. And it's all green. Like there's no red in there at all. So we have a sextile to Pluto in the first house. So it definitely mediumship is playing a role. We've talked about mediumship before a lot. We've literally had a medium that was last episode, right? We had our girlfriend.
How many we have banked.
Oh, right. We have. So probably not last episode. The last episode that was published by the time this is recorded.
Which means nothing to the listeners. So
no, not at all. But it helps my brain to follow a timeline, because
we are mediums and we have mediums that are friends.
Yes, and at least one of them has been on the show now, so yeah,
right.
That is great. It's in a trine with Black Moon Lilith, and who are you? Oh, Lust is still in there. Oh well, I mean, that tracks.
Talk about stuff on here.
We do talk about sexuality. We definitely talk about the dark feminine, and those two are also in the 10th house, so that's where we should actually focus on That's where we're supposed to grow.
Okay. Well, right? So that's funny because lust is in there because basically yesterday and today I just did a full deep dive on, no, just today, I guess. I woke up today and I was like, let me look at some obscure asteroids. And then I was like, I'm going to put lust in there. Uh-huh. And boy, did I get fucking red to filth. It was
so perfect timing because apparently that is supposed to be a big focus of our TikTok account, The Dark Feminine and Sexuality.
Yeah, that's fair.
Things like that. So that's great. We should do more of that. And I am okay with that. Also a trine with the sun in the seventh house. So obviously shining a light on relationship stuff, on ego things. But in Cancer, so in a very nurturing way, in a very caring way, we never judge people for stuff, right? So that's cool. And then we have a sextile to the moon and Uranus in the fourth house. So again, emotions, rebellion, uniqueness.
Yeah.
So all of these can be limitations because they are talking to Saturn and Saturn is the great limitator, but we would do that ourselves. So if we don't shy away from these themes, then that should actually be really beneficial.
It's cool.
So that is great. Okay. We also have Ceres in the second house and Chiron. Both of that makes sense because yes, fated relationships are a subject we've looked at synergy charts like several times now. Yeah. And also trauma and healing from trauma and overcoming the trauma and how does trauma show up in a birth chart and stuff. Also big subjects. Yeah. We have already talked about and will probably be talking more about.
Yeah. Right? What that part's in Aries.
Right.
So what's the Ariesness give to that?
Aries is, first of all, passion and energy and drive.
Oh, sure.
And also starting new things.
Right.
Right. So
I am an Aries sun, but I don't.
Aries is a cardinal sign, and the cardinal signs, so how you can try to remember that, the cardinal signs are always the signs that, that the sun is in at the start of a season, and Aries is the start of spring.
Yeah.
So the cardinal signs always want to start things. They always want to get things rolling and like, you know, let's get it on with. They are really bad at finishing things and seeing things through, but they are great at starting things. So
sure. We'll just keep starting new things.
Yeah.
I guess that's fine.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that the third house is empty. The third house is obviously communication, and technically a podcast is a form of communication, especially when two people are creating one while talking to each other. But that's empty. I think that's interesting. I do also think it's interesting, though, that it's entirely in Taurus.
Right.
And Taurus is a very sensual sign. It's ruled by Venus. It's very artsy. It's very feminine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we at least should be nice to listen to and look at on TikTok, I guess.
I hope so. That's such a weird, that there's nothing in there.
Yeah. But, I mean, maybe that's because, you know, it's not the podcast's chart, it's the TikTok account's chart, and it's the communication is somewhat secondary because like we are not creating the podcast for a TikTok. We are using TikTok to promote the podcast, and like all the communication that is happening there is like from a secondary source, if that makes sense. Like when we post clips from the podcast, it's from the podcast. It's not.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, kind of. I'm just surprised to see it. So
yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Okay, fourth house is our roots, and we are growing from emotions because the moon is in there, and from our uniqueness because Uranus is in there, and also it's in Gemini, which is the ADHD sign. I have said that several
times. It's also the twins, and there's two of us posting on that account, and we've yes. got, you know,
yeah,
it's very similar, but we have different emotions and thoughts and feelings about things, so
yeah,
that's kind of funny.
Yep. That definitely tracks. It fully makes sense. Yeah. Again, the moon is also in a trine with with Pluto in the first house. So, yes, obviously we.
But
have
it's anti-lust.
It is well. It not necessarily anti, but there's probably like a push and pull between
just
between lust and like the more sexual side, because whenever we talk about sex and the dark feminine, it usually turns pretty funny pretty fast.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
I am incredibly mature.
Yeah, we're not thirst trap.
No. And then like when we talk about emotions, that's a completely different, like we can actually go pretty deep. So yeah. It's like it's the two sides of a coin.
Yeah.
Basically.
What's that other asteroid that it's squaring?
That's Lilith, the asteroid.
Okay.
So, yeah, that tracks because, I mean, that asteroid Lilith is also squaring Black Moon Lilith.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they're communicating and it feels like a ping pong kind of energy. Right, where it's like, oh, now, and that tracks. Like now, we're talking about emotional stuff. We're going really deep. We're sharing childhood stories, blah blah blah. Because fourth house is also, you know, how we grow up, literally, like our childhood and the childhood home and things like that. And then we're talking about some like trauma that is related to growing up as girls.
Sure.
And young women.
Not a girl. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, and then that ping ponging back to the Black Moonlit. So the dark, like growing out of that. And like, so, you know, there's like a back and forth between those three. I'm being very eloquent today.
That's fair.
But like, yeah. So that makes sense to me. Yeah, and then I'm also noticing that, like, the fourth, fifth, sixth, and even the third house are pretty small, especially compared to the first and the seventh.
That's good, because these are the ones that I have to be told every time what they're about.
So that's funny. But also, I mean, the main focus of the stuff we talk about is about the self, which is the first house. And the relationships, which is the seventh house. So it tracks that those would be the largest houses. And then, yes, we do talk a little bit about, like, home life, about childhood. We do talk a little bit about just fun and games stuff, which is the fifth house. And that has Venus in it. So fifth house is also art. So that's probably that with Venus in there. Venus is obviously a very artsy planet. So yeah, you literally are an artist. So that tracks. And then we have Jupiter in the sixth. The sixth is routines and work, like your 9-to-5 job. And Jupiter is the great expander.
Mm-hmm.
And a very, very lucky, a very fortunate one. So, ooh, okay. This is really, really entertaining for people who are only listening, because suddenly she made a noise. What the fuck is going on? So,
aspects.
I clicked on Jupiter to look at Jupiter's aspects. So first of all, Jupiter is in Cancer too. So it's like, very nurturing, again, very caring, which makes sense because we probably should care both about our community, but also about ourselves while we keep to these routines that are necessary for us to keep up with a TikTok account that people actually are able to see, right? Yeah. So that makes sense. And then also, it is in several shrines with Vesta, Juno, and who are you? Hecate. Oh, I'm loving that. So basically, those three up here, they are in the ninth house too of beliefs and like worldview. And those are like, we have like the three feminine powers, like all cheering us on. And like, they're being made really big and really powerful by that trine to Jupiter. I am liking that a lot. And they're also in Scorpio. So it's like, both, like the feminism and the like, female strength, but also the darkness, because Scorpio is a very like, Scorpio is really deep and really like protective too. Scorpio has a lot of protective energy. So that is what that feels like. We are being cheered on. We literally have cheerleaders up here going like, yay.
That's good.
But they're also really protective of like our energy. So that feels nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have any questions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have loads of questions. So
shoot.
So if you're casting a chart for your social media, right? Obviously, mm-hmm. you're going, okay, what does this say about the kind of content that I need to be focusing on to get the best return, and you know, whatever it is that you want, right? So like people with social media accounts want different things out of that, right? So some people are just like, I just want a bunch of followers because I want people to love me and look at me, right? Which is valid, but probably not our jam.
No.
We're like, well, we want people to feel inspired, and we want people to like, even though we're not like totally educational because we're just a couple of dorks like figuring it out, like we still want to be able to be like, this is what we've learned, and obviously you can like apply that as well.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that we want. So if you look at this and go like, okay, then what do we need to, this was a very long-winded question. Hopefully you have followed me
on
this journey.
Yeah. No, it fully makes sense. So for our purposes, I would look at three specific placements.
Right.
So one of our purposes is connection, right?
Yeah.
We want to connect to other people. We want people to be able to connect to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is seventh house stuff. Our seventh house is really large. Our seventh house has Cancer, Leo, and Virgo. And the Sun, Mercury, and Mars in there. So that tells me what we should focus on is the nurturing energy, the caring. We need to show people that we care.
Yeah.
I mean, communication, that's literally what we do on TikTok. We are communicating, right? Also, like, Leo is like, likes to be in the spotlight. So that's like, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to actually be seen, which is not an issue you have, but might be an issue I have sometimes.
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask, because some people like have TikToks that are where they never like show their face, but it feels to me like this is like, you need to be face forward. And
yes, you need to be, face forward. You need to be not afraid to show your true self, and all of your colors, which is funny for me to say, who's a goth and only wears black. But,
but like, you wear purple sometimes.
Occasionally, true. But yeah, so I will show you all of my shades of black. So yeah. And also, you know, we should try, because Virgos in there, to be really purposeful about it, to be really organized about it, which really makes sense, because that's just what our brains need.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, and it's going to cost energy, but also ultimately it's going to be energizing both for us and for other people because of Mars in there. Right.
Okay.
And then the second thing I'm going to look at is the 10th house, because growth, we do want growth, right? Mm-hmm. We want our TikTok account to grow so more people can see it. But also we want to grow as people, and we want this to be a tool for other people for growth, right?
Yeah.
So that's 10th house stuff. And I've mentioned it before. We have Black Moon Lilith in there. And who are you? Lust, right? So, and also it's mostly in Sagittarius with like a little itty bit of Scorpio.
Yep.
So we should, yes, we should focus on the dark feminine. We should focus on sexuality, sexual trauma, possibly. Mm. And also travel and cultures and knowledge and stuff. Okay. That's Sagittarius's stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then the third thing is I would look at the first house and specifically the ascendant, because that is how people view us. And, you know, we want to present in a way that makes people able to connect and to grow, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, mediumship is something we can focus on, but also, like, revolution. Pluto is, like, especially nowadays, I keep referencing revolution whenever I talk about Pluto, because Pluto has just entered Aquarius. Pluto has turned from being a billionaire supporter into, I don't give a fuck, I will tear everything down, because we now need to focus on humanitarian efforts. We need to focus on building community, on, you know, sharing, on justice and all of those things. And that's fucking calling for a revolution. So,
well, and it's funny because I would say that, like, one of my big goals, and I think that, like, you know, it's one of the reasons that we talk about the obscure asteroids all the time, is because a lot of people don't ever talk about them. Mm-hmm. And I just think they're really fucking cool or whatever, but like,
I agree.
But like, we kind of set out to go, well, we want to think of things that we would like to hear about, but aren't hearing about it on the podcasts and on the social medias and stuff that we are listening to. So,
yeah, correct. Yeah. Yeah. And then I've briefly mentioned that Pallas is also in there, and Pallas is very wise. So definitely we can focus on actually teaching people stuff. But like, it's a good thing that we're not doing it in any kind of linear way. I have said it before, if you want to learn astrology in a very linear way, this is not the place for you. Like, you can do that elsewhere.
But also, maybe if you're a diehard Whole House person, we might piss you off frequently. Because
maybe
I can't. I just can't even make it fit in my head. And when I ask you, like, oh, how do Whole House people do this? You're kind of like, vaguely this way, but also I don't really know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is true. But, you know, that's the Aquarius energy. So we Aquarius doesn't do stuff linear. It's like, you will probably learn stuff, and we should try to teach people stuff. And I think we do, but like never in any kind of linear fashion.
That is how I choose my questions. Like, I always like think about, like, will this inspire people to like also figure out this and that? So
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it comes across, but I do think about it whenever it's things.
I think it comes across.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Does that answer that question for you?
Yes, that does answer that question.
But that sounds like, but I have so many more.
Well, I was internally thinking, so I always try to like guess who this will be, but you're so much better at mythology than me. Sometimes I have an idea, and other times I'm like, No, you got to do it. Oh, but I can't think of one. Right. Okay. Sorry. I should actually just say the thing. So what I was internally thinking is, so what obscure asteroids should we be pulling up to be like, you know, what kind of like out of nowhere obscure asteroid is going to speak to this thing? And the one that I thought of is there's one for Siren.
Ooh.
Right. So that would be good, right? Because that like, literally like come look at, but there must also be other.
I'm liking Siren. We're definitely putting that in. I'm trying to think of any like communication deities that are not already in there. Yeah. Obviously like Mercury is the big communicator.
But who's like bewitching people to like, you know? Well, no.
What?
Sorry, I was like, so I was, so my brain was like, who is bewitching people? And then I had like, this is going to be so hard to explain. In my head, I had like the music for not Peter Pan, but I guess Peter Piper, is that who like played the Piper and all the children followed him?
Oh, the Pied Piper.
The Pied Piper, right? So I had like the musical notes of that in my head. But then I was like, oh, what sound does that match? And then I was like, Orpheus, and it's not Orpheus at all. It's not even the same kind of instrument, because that's what happens now when I try to think about music. It just goes.
So I'm amazed and slightly creeped out, because while that was happening in your brain, I suddenly in my brain had Pan.
Oh.
Pan. And I was wondering, why am I thinking of Pan? Like, Pan is not really connected to, like, there's the pan flute. Like, that's what the Pied Piper is playing. He's playing the pan flute.
He's also like alluring and like,
that's true.
In kind of like a gross way, right?
And like depends on the story, yeah. But yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, but yeah. I mean, I always think of him as like a sweaty, gross.
Yeah.
But
You
know, I don't know.
The only other one, so yes, we should, just because that was so creepy that we had that weird brain connection there, we should definitely put Pan in there. And also, we could put Medea in there.
Oh,
Medea is, one of Hecate's daughters, and she's like a famous witch, basically. She's a very famous, powerful witch. She's got a bad rap, but I really like her.
Okay, well, let's do it.
Because she killed her kids.
I mean, they probably had it coming. I mean, obviously, don't kill your kids. That's an incredibly insane thing for me to have said. But, you know.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, there she is.
So, Medea is conjunct Pluto. I mean, sort of conjunct. She's a sign over. So, like, Pluto is in Aquarius and Medea is still in Capricorn. But still, it's, like, 28 degrees of Capricorn to 2 degrees of Aquarius. So, the energy is different, but they are definitely talking to each other.
Yeah.
And, like, Pluto is the death one, the mediumship one, the, revolution one. And Medea is... she's definitely, like, especially in more modern witches' circles, she is definitely, like, a feminine power. She is anti-patriarchy, definitely, because basically the stories that are told about her in mythology are always, like, from the viewpoint of the men, and that's why she gets a bad rap, like... Yeah, and like when you actually tap into her energy, she feels completely different from that. She doesn't feel like, you know, child murderer and like she just feels like a really powerful witch who, you know, men didn't like that, so they tried to take that away, so they made up stories that are really cruel and mean.
Sure.
So that people would not listen to her.
Story of the ages.
Yep. So yeah, tearing down the patriarchy is definitely a subject that we should be focusing on, which, I mean, we are in our everyday lives, so.
Yeah, we don't know how to not.
Yeah.
Also, so she's sextile, Black Moon, Lilith, and probably lust.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's lust. So, yeah. We're already doing that. Is
yeah.
Like what that feels like, right? So we're already incorporating the dark feminine and we're already being very revolutionary and very anti-patriarchy.
Good.
That's, we're pouring lots of energy into that because she's also in a trine with Mars, tearing down egos because she's in an opposition with the sun.
Yep,
all of that tracks. There's, you know, trauma definitely to do with living under patriarchy. Okay, oh, that was Lilith. We already talked about her. Then who are you? Oh, that's the Siren.
Okay.
Oh, well, I mean, first of all, she's also in a trine with our cheerleaders up here in the ninth house.
Okay, so we probably have to petition them for some help.
Yes. Yes, we definitely should. Which is interesting. So I have worked a little bit with Hestia, who's like the Greek version of Vesta, right? Okay. I've never worked with Hera, really, who's the Juno, the Greek version of Juno. So that's interesting, but yeah, and obviously I am a Hecate devotee. I definitely work with Hecate all the time. So, yeah, we should definitely pull these in and like, make them help us and support us and protect us too. Because remember, I said, you know, Scorpio is a very protective energy. And also the Siren is also in a trine with Jupiter. So definitely expanding that and like bringing us luck and fortune. So that is nice. And she's in the first house. So pretty major, pretty important, especially to like, we also probably present in a way as Sirens because she's in our first house. So, calling people in and then nom-nomming the stupid men drowning them.
And she's in Pisces, so she goes deep.
She definitely goes deep. I mean, yeah. Literally, we're going to drown some unfortunate men. I am okay with that. Oh. Sappho is in our fourth house. So, in our roots, we are really gay.
Oh, yeah.
Did accurate. You know?
I've noticed. I've noticed.
That is that is something we can always rely on and, you know, fall back on too.
Mm.
Because it's the house. It's our home. It's where we live.
Yeah.
Is the gayness.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Trying with the Pluto and Medea.
Yep.
Okay. Good.
Yep. Okay. Who's the next one? Who are you? Oh, there we have Pan. Ooh, he's this is like the reddest one I've seen from the ones like I've actually clicked on. So we're looking at Pan's aspects. First of all, Pan is in the seventh house, which, you know, we've now talked a lot because it is really big and apparently really important. So, and it's in Leo. So we do have that ability to be really alluring and to pull people in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being in the spotlight is a Leo thing. That was Hecate, I think. Yeah. Okay. So, Pan is in a sextile with Hecate. So she is probably, so I should do some, I'm feeling I should do some witchcraft with Hecate here and be like,
okay,
you do some things for this TikTok account. Yeah, so the opposition is interesting to Pallas, and this was Lilith, I think. Yep. The Asteroid Lilith. That makes sense. Okay, so while I'm desperately trying to figure out what that is supposed to mean, my head is like, you're too much in your head, and that's actually what that means.
Oh.
Yes, like, well, before when I was talking about Pallas, I was like talking about how we should definitely try to also be educational, you know, try to teach people things, but we can't be too in our heads about that, and we shouldn't, like, that shouldn't be the main focus. That is just, that should rather be something that just happens naturally. Because if we get too in our head about it, and if we try to, probably especially me, if I try to be like, oh, this has to be, I have to teach people, I have to be really, then that's not as alluring, because that makes sense, right?
That makes sense. Yeah. So for me, when I like, so when I say that I think about it, when I'm like, what questions am I going to ask, or what am I going to make the TikTok about, or like whatever, I just kind of set the intention that whatever is interesting to me to go, like, let's talk about this. Let's, so like when I was like, well, maybe we can just invite people to like go on the journey of like how we look at astrocartography to like figure out our holiday stuff or whatever. And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, my intention is that, like, obviously that's me talking, asking you about us, or asking you about me and Frenzy going on holiday to Egypt, and not everybody on the TikTok that's watching that is going to, you know, whatever, but
we're going, like, to bring all of you along.
We are definitely not going to do that. And so, but like, when I think about it, I'm like, oh, it's my intention that that will inspire people to be like, oh, I haven't thought about doing that. Maybe I'll do that next time.
Right. And that's, so, and that's probably exactly the way we should do it. So basically what that tells me is I should let you do that part. Like, okay, come up with, you know, do what you're already doing and be like, oh, this can also be educational and inspiring for other people. And then me just do the part where I just talk to my friend about it and not really think about how, will other people understand? Should I explain this better? Right? Yeah. Because, you know, they will learn it or they won't.
Well, you explain it, because I don't, there's lots of stuff I don't know. So just you talking to me means you have to explain.
Sure, but like, I'm, but like, in my head I'm explaining it to you. I'm not, and like, we at least to like 90% speak the same language, and like, we, you know, understand each other. And when I'm explaining things in a way that I think you will understand, then, you know, that's the way I should do it. I shouldn't think about, well, will other people understand it? Because then I'm getting in my head, and then I will also start thinking about how this is really chaotic, and like, a neurotypical person will probably not be able to follow any of the things I'm saying.
But we're not talking to neurotypical.
No. People. So I will just,
we don't know them. We don't know where they live. I don't know what they eat. Who knows what they do? I don't know what they do.
I don't know.
I don't think we're attracting neurotypical people.
Oh no. Oh no, that would be, no. If you are enjoying this podcast, newsflash, you are neurodivergent.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking to neurodivergent people with like a boatload of trauma. It's like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's who we are. That's where we live. So
Yeah. So that makes sense. And also, it's Pan is also in a trine with Chiron. So definitely also the deep shit we talk about is like, we're not just funny. We're also, you know, emotionally deep, and talk about meaningful stuff. So
sometimes I think it's funny that he is square Sappho, when I was like, he's just like a gross guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So also like stepping out of our comfort zones to be more alluring, right? Because fourth house is the hearth and home. This is where comfort and safety lie. And then if we want to step into this Leo energy, the seventh house energy, into connection with other people, you have to come out of your shell a little bit. And this is all like, you're looking at me. I'm like, this is all me. Like, this is not an issue that you have.
I was looking at it and I was just like, damn, I just need to be naked. What? I don't have a shell. I've got nothing. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure that would also draw in a different kind of viewer.
I am too tired for that. I don't want to. No. Nope. Yeah. But, you know, okay. I forget sometimes that you're like technically shy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely an introvert and I am incredibly good at masking. So you mostly can't tell, but yeah, I'm horrified of speaking in front of people. When we do this, I cannot think about the fact that hopefully lots of people will actually be listening to this and watching this on YouTube, because yeah, that will make my brain leave the building.
Talk to me.
Yeah, this is just a friendly conversation that I happen to record.
And edit.
And edit.
Xander to like do whatever audio balance.
Audio stuff. And
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. Okay. So what are like our traps, right? Like what's our shadow side? What's the danger points?
I actually need to think about that one.
I know, I'm like, you know how you've been like super empowering and like
yeah,
whatever. Can you just do exactly the opposite of that real quick?
Yeah. I mean, one of those is definitely that thing. So leaving the comfort zone and being able to show your true self and be okay with being in the spotlight. Yeah. So there's always that danger of like, I think that's also that square, right? Between Pan, the alluring god, and like all of our fourth house placement, right? Fourth house is like comfort and safety and like being in your shell and hiding from the outside world.
Ian is in there with hiding in the shell.
Sorry?
Right. Okay. But Uranus is like rebellion, right? So like how is Uranus like, let me hide in this rebellious shell? I don't get it.
Yes, but okay, but it is easy to sit at home and, you know, talk to your friend about how you want to be really rebellious and do things differently. And here's all the things that I want to change in society. And like, here's all of my values that are really different from, you know, patriarchy, basically, and the system we live in. That's easy. But like doing that in front of people, having people judge that and being open to people who obviously have completely different views, yeah, that's hard.
I mean, okay, I guess.
Well, not for you, but for me it is.
Right. So. But I mean, to be fair, like genuinely, who gives a shit what people that you don't know think about?
Yes, mostly I agree.
Okay.
But that is due to lots of growth I have done in the last several years. Like if we had done this just like 5 years ago, I would have been terrified of getting negative comments of people talking about anything about me in a negative way. It would have affected me so badly. It won't now, but okay, I still have my moments where I would prefer to not be in the spotlight and to go, leave me alone. I don't want anyone to see me. I am ashamed. I'm scared. I am like, so here's some, not actual trauma dumping, but here's a reason for that. I was bullied heavily as a, like basically my entire childhood and teenage years. So that has affected the way I look at myself. Because like when you get told constantly every day by like literally an entire school full of people that you are ugly, that you are nasty, that you are stupid, you know, you believe that shit. So that is a trigger for me to like when people start telling me that, to separate that from my actual self. Like, separate the fact that people might think that about me does not affect who I actually am.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I logically know that, but my trauma self does not know that. So when I am in a bad place and people like see me and talk negatively about me, it can trigger that way of thinking in me where I'm like, oh, I am that. Because if someone else says it, then it must be true.
Right. Okay.
Right. So that is definitely a trap that, well, again, not for you, but for me, that I might fall into, that I have to still work on myself and still do some growth and still like overcome to a degree, like that fear of.
I'll try to share my viewpoint on it with you.
Sure.
Yes. Like, so I logically understand that, obviously. Right. Sure. I like have like a ton of empathy for like how that must feel and like all of that stuff. I'm not belittling that at all. I think that's
I know. Common.
And I think what I'm about to say is probably not that common, but I genuinely am just like, if I am not like having sex with you or like live with you or like genuinely like have a mind meld good relationship with you and like care about you. So this is like not that many people, right? Like if you're just some fucking random, and especially if you're some random cis man. So first of all, if you're a random cis man, I hope you hate me. Like that.
Yes.
Genuinely. Like
that I agree wholeheartedly with.
If you're just like, oh, like some one of those guys is just like, oh, you're a piece of shit. I'm just like, job well done. Like everything I do is to craft a fucking situation in which you don't like me.
That's I find literal joy in realizing that a cis het white man does not like me. It makes me joyful and giddy.
Samesies. So, but also like, you know, if you're 5'6", even if that's like a super pretty queer girl is like, you're an asshole and you don't know what you're talking about. I'm just like, cool story, bro. I don't know who you are. Or if they're just like, I don't like you and I don't think anybody else should like you, but I'm just kind of like, I'm an acquired taste. Like, maybe I'm not for you. Like, that's fine and reasonable. And like, you know, the world's a big place. Not everybody's going to get along. Like, it just doesn't.
Yeah.
You know? So I'll try to like, see if I can share. I don't think that. So I should also preface this by saying, I don't think any of this is like makes me special or is personal growth or is just like something that I'm like, oh, look how cool I am. I don't care about it's not that. It's autism.
You've just always been that way.
Yeah. It's my particular shade of
autism.
That's it. Yeah. So, or whatever. But like, I'll try to like give you some, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I have literally learned, the growth that I have already done is in part because of you, because I've like looked at you and seen you do that. Do you and go like that? Yeah, that makes so much more sense than how my brain works. So, because the thing is, logically, like just intellectually, I'm right there with you. Like, I agree. Like, what the fuck should it matter to my life that someone somewhere in the world thinks anything negative about me? It doesn't affect my life. It doesn't affect the people that are actually in my life that do love me, that do care about me, that like me exactly the way I am. And I have those people in my life. You're one of them. So, right? So, like, what it doesn't affect that. And, like, logically, I know that. But there's always that when you deal with trauma, there's that. You know, the two sides of the coin again, where like you can know something logically, intellectually, but your body, your physical body, your trauma body, your inner child, however you want to call that, might not know that or might not always have access to that knowledge. For me, it very much depends on like what kind of day I'm having, where I am in my cycle. Literally, like if you hit me on a period day and you say something negative about me, I will cry.
Right. Like, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So, you know, it's hormones.
Sure.
But like, but yeah, so that's the difference. So that is definitely a thing I'm still working on.
I mean, it is absolutely a trap, because even if you're like, you know, even if you're just like, oh, I do deeply care about that, there's still nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, and also I can't foresee it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know when, I mean, I know that it is going to happen. It is inevitable. Oh. The more people see us and watch our videos, inevitably at some point, there's going to be people there that will go like, oh, you're ugly, I don't like your nose, or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
But I can't foresee it. I can't tell when that's going to happen. I can't tell what state I'm going to be in when that happens.
Well, hopefully I see it, because I will delete it without even thinking about it at all.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, like, I kind of want myself to see it, because I want to use that as growth, as an opportunity for, you know, because the more it happens, I feel like the more I will be able to handle it, because worst is always the first time it happens, right? And then the second time gets easier, and the third time is even easier, and at some point you'll get used to it and it won't be a big deal anymore. So like, yeah. I'm not scared of it. Like, I know it's going to happen, and I know that I will survive it. Like, I mean,
yeah,
the shit I survived, I will survive some stupid internet comments. Like, I'll be fine. But like, yeah. I'm not saying that like, oh, this is such a big deal and like it will destroy my soul. No, like I'll be fine. But like, I might have a moment there where it feels bad.
Of course. Yeah.
Right.
No, I get it.
So, yeah.
I get it. I'm just an alien. Sometimes that's all.
This is one of those things where we are complete opposites.
Yeah.
So, okay. So,
but I do get it. That's my point. That's like, I understand.
Yeah, I know.
So.
I'm trying to see if there's any other like pitfalls or something like that. But I think that's pretty much the big one.
Okay.
I mean, you could say that the third house being empty might be like a small one, where it's like, we are an acquired taste. It's like, we probably won't be able to reach people that don't speak the same language as we do, at least to a certain degree. But also, we don't really want that. So that's fine. But like, it might be a pitfall that, I mean, we shouldn't try to do that. We should stick with what we're good at, the way we speak. We shouldn't try to change ourselves so that more people listen to us, because
we'd be terrible at that.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. Our third house is empty. So it's like,
yeah.
Oh, one more thing. I also think it's interesting that the 12th and the 11th house are also empty.
So we have no friends. and the unknown is, you know, unknown.
I mean, the 12th house is easy. It's just that, like, the 12th house is the place in a chart where you hide things. We just don't hide anything. It's like all on the surface. Here's my trauma. Here's my sex life. here's everything.
Yeah.
Like there's not a lot that we're hiding. So, and then 11th house, yes, is community, but also community comes easy to us. There's not really, you know, like if a house is empty, it doesn't mean that that is not a part of your life. It doesn't mean that, you know, that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. It exists. It's just not very eventful. It's just, you know, it's there. It exists.
Right.
It's easy. It comes naturally. And that tracks because, like, we've always been good with community-based stuff and also like, humanitarian stuff.
Yeah,
I feel like that does come naturally to us, like building community. So yeah. That's not a pitfall. That was just another thing I just noticed.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. So, I can't think of how to like really ask this really, but can you look at the upcoming transits and be like, this is how I foresee our growth for the next?
I mean, I can have a look. So first thing I'm noticing is that right now the sun is moving through our eighth house.
Okay.
So that also means that in probably like a month or two, I want to say, it's going to be in our 10th house of growth.
Okay.
Let's see when that actually happens. Yeah, end of November or like mid-November. Okay. Is when it's in our 10th house. So that's probably where we'll get like at least like a chunk of growth and attention because the sun is shining a light on things.
You know what's really funny about that?
What?
What's really funny about that is that so that is basically like when my final debt payment is.
Oh. And
I was kind of thinking like, okay, well, you know, if we haven't like really figured it out by then I can sign us up for this TikTok coaching thing that I saw.
Oh,
but I'm also like, you know, I was like, for now, we just need to learn how to split our energy. So like, we're not ready for it anyways. Like even if, but that fits timeline wise.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's also like the sun is also going to be in a trine with our natal sun, right? So there's the connection between growth and relationship.
Yeah.
Connection. So yeah, that's what I would predict sort of, right? That by the end of November, there's going to be some like a growth spurt basically. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah, and then also Mercury is like right after, right? So Mercury will then soon after also enter our 10th house. So people will start actually talking about us.
Yeah. Okay.
So, which hopefully will lead to more growth because people will be like, have you heard that those two weirdos? They are really funny.
Oh, I have a super random thing. I don't know how you'll see this, but
okay.
I often don't know how you're going to see things. So we were talking earlier about how you've done some animal communication videos, which is also obviously like that's not astrology, but it's close enough. And I, you know, I like them.
We do other stuff too.
And we do other stuff too. And we're like, right now, TikTok doesn't know how to show it to anybody. Like, it's like just not showing it to anybody.
Yeah, it's getting like 11 views.
Right? So, yeah. Can you see in there, like, should I talk about animal communication? Should we talk about, like, energy? Like, can you see that sort of thing?
Somewhat, maybe. Okay, so I feel like that might be a thing that will actually get really popular like after we've grown more popular, like in December, because by then Mercury will be in aspects with stuff that's in our fifth and our sixth house.
Mm-hmm.
And like wrong way. I'm moving you in the wrong direction. And like pets, like some people put pets in the fifth house where, you know, children also reside and like, you know, pets are similar to that. Sure. Others put pets in the sixth house because it's like the routines that you have in your home environment. So I put them sort of in both, right? Sometimes right. even a little bit in the fourth. But yeah, so basically by the start of the next year, Mercury will be in an opposition with Jupiter in our sixth. And like, that's the great expander. And like, so maybe, but also that's a very like, that's a bit pulling it out of my ass. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's okay if the answer is, I don't know.
Yeah. Like I have a vague idea, but also I'm not sure at all about that. So.
Okay. That's cool. Is there anything else that you see upcoming that stands out to you?
I mean, it's interesting that we have that stellium that's in the sky in January in our 12th house.
Mm.
So if we move that forward a bit, oh yeah, by mid-January it's gonna be in a so basically my prediction is that's when we'll explode.
Okay.
Because like by then we have Mars, Mercury, Sun, Venus, Pluto, and the Moon in our first house.
Right. So, and then asteroid that is.
Yeah, and then all eyes on us, basically.
Okay. Well, we just gotta keep on trucking, I guess.
Yep.
That's cool. I mean, that's the name of the game, I guess, with
TikTok. Yeah.
It's just, and it's funny because when we set this up, I was like, right, so we need to have at least one social media and it has to be TikTok because that's the only one I haven't deleted off my phone.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't really like give you a bunch of options there.
Nope. I mean, I also would have voted TikTok because I feel like, especially for like podcast promotion, I feel like TikTok works the best. I also don't know shit about, like, I'm not on Facebook anymore. I don't think anyone is on Facebook still. I'm
old people.
I've never really been on Instagram. I have no idea how Instagram works. So.
Yeah. I mean, I was on Instagram for a while and I did okay on there in the time that I was on there, but it's been probably a couple of years now since I deleted that. So, and Twitter, I'm just like, I don't
want to be on Twitter. If you had set Twitter, I would have asked you who the fuck you are and what alien creature has taken hold of your body. Because,
yeah, I mean, Twitter was great when I was a sex worker because it's like really important sex workers.
Yeah, we don't want to be on Twitter, not after Elon.
No, but I mean, I got rid of it way before then.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Do you have any other questions?
No. No, I can't think of anything.
Okay. Right. I mean, we're also like about an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
That's really good. So that's pretty good.
So I would say that you've definitely pointed out like a bunch of things that would work for anybody to look at and like, you know, apply to their own chart. And
yeah.
And we really suggest that you play around with those obscure asteroids because they are. Great.
Yeah, absolutely do that. If there's anything that you care a lot about, anything you value in your life.
Oh, I thought of one. I thought of one more.
Okay. Shoot.
There's one that's like academia or something.
Oh, let's have a look.
It's in the sixth house next to Jupiter.
Right.
Which feels good.
And again, like it's in a trine with those three cheerleaders.
Yeah. Now, I do super nerd out on the whole learning wild, mind-blowing stuff. Like, that's why I was like, let's talk for the next 75 years about fictional characters and their birth charts and how it works and about how you can, like, follow back their whole ancestral line and it continues to work and they've got to be real somewhere. Like, that's all like, academic interest, right? Yeah. Because I'm like, I don't know how you would study that, but I also don't know how you would study string theory, and they do that. So,
correct.
Like, this correct. Is fucking I mean, multiverse stuff. This is that. This is that.
Yeah, and just, you know, learning in general. I mean, we are learning. I am learning just from doing these, like having you ask me questions, like, because also the questions you come up with are sometimes so obscure. I have never thought about that. I have no idea how I would look that up. And then I just come up with it on the spot and suddenly I learned something. Like, it's really silly stuff sometimes where I'm like, oh, this planet can also represent these things that I haven't ever thought of, right? Yeah. Or like this sign can represent. So it's like silly things, but it's definitely like, I mean, the serial killer thing, right? Where I was like, oh, this is so validating that it's something that I should actually study, because suddenly it comes up in a question literally the same day I had this thing happen in my own personal study. So it's like, yeah, it's definitely teaching me stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that I'm hopeful that it also teaches other people stuff.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
But that's not even the main focus.
I mean, I think it would have to. I think, you know, if you are, I mean, not to say that like we're talking about super groundbreaking stuff all the time or whatever, because sometimes we're talking stupid shit. But yeah. I do think that like, if you are putting yourself in a space where the whole point is that questions are being asked and then follow-up questions are being asked and answered, and like, you know, then you're putting yourself into an inspirational flow state.
Yeah.
Right. And that just begets learning. It just does.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Okay. Interesting.
Cool.
Are we finished?
Yeah, I think we're finished.
Cool. Okay. Well, hopefully this was entertaining and somewhat educational. Again, you can do these, like, you can cast these kinds of charts for any kind of business, any kind of event, even like literally if you have anything important happening in your life, either in the past or in the future, you can cast a chart for it.
Yeah.
And just like, astrology is not just natal charts. Obviously, that is a big part of it, but anything has a chart, any moment in time, any event. Countries, there's a very famous birth chart for the USA that you can look at, and then you can, you know, combine that with transits to sort of see what's happening in that country. So yeah, it's vast. You can use this for all sorts of shit.
Yeah. Well, and also, like, probably at some point, maybe offline, maybe on TikTok, we should also cast the chart for the actual podcast and then do the synastry between the podcast and the TikTok, because that's probably, like, the logical next step, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So. And then you can also cast synastry charts between your business and yourself. Or. Right. Right? Your business and your partner. How does this affect my relationship? You can cast the synastry chart between you and your partner, and then a synastry chart between that chart and your business chart to see how it affects your relationship. Like, you can, like, it is so wild, the things you can do with astrology that are
just never ends.
So much more than the things that you see in popular media, right?
Yeah. Which is why the current studies just don't do it for me, because they're like, did you know that not everybody with the same sun sign is the same person?
No shit.
Astrology has been busted. Scientifically. And we're like,
no, actually that proves astrology's point that we are all unique.
Right.
So, like, there's, I keep saying this because it is my favorite sentence to say when I talk to skeptics. There is more possibilities for natal charts than there ever have been humans on planet Earth.
Yeah.
In the history of humanity, there's more possibilities for birth charts. So, yes, every natal chart, every single one is unique and different.
Yeah.
As every single person is unique. So. Yeah.
Well, one thing that I think is going on with skeptics, as far as like skeptics and astrology goes, is I think that they're assuming that everything that comes up in a placement is like a really broad thing, right? Where it's like people like you or you like people, but they're not, you know, and they think like, well, that's what there's, you know, it's that sort of thing that every placement's talking about, but they're not realizing like, oh no, this says your mother died of cancer when you were like 10, you know, like they're not, it's stuff that's is either true or it's not, or like, this is saying that you can't dance. Right. Like, you know, so
specifically it's saying that you flail around awkwardly and then fall on your ass,
which is fucking true. And so like, you know, I think there's like, I mean, obviously there are vague things in charts,
sure,
for sure. But I think that like skeptics are going like, they're just zeroing in on that and then going, well, this is all it is. And so of course you could make that fit anybody, but they're just not taking into account.
And that is in part because skeptics don't actually know how astrology works, because all the skeptics that have figured out how astrology works have become astrologers or believers in astrology.
I did find a bunch of that because I was like trying to look up. That's right. So I was specifically looking for some of the astrology, like studies on astrology where we disproved it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's several that are just about sun signs. Right. In fact, that's what they mostly are. So they'll be because like,
that's the most popular thing that people know about astrology.
Right. And so they're like, oh, here's this like Wired article about this or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to look at more complicated ones. Mm-hmm. And all I found was like just different like articles and YouTube accounts of, oh, I tried to do this really serious study on this to disprove it, but now it's 23 years later and I'm a professional astrologer with like a background in physics because like I actually can't, you know, I just proved that I can't say why it works, just that it does.
Yes.
So I did find a bunch of those.
Yeah.
But they still didn't do the studies. And I'm like, you need to go like, okay, you were really into that, but then they like get caught up and like learning the thing. And then I think
really easy to happen because astrology is so vast. You never stop.
Yeah. And I think that's why the studies don't happen, right? Because the people that are like super serious, you know, physicists or whoever, it tends to be physicists. Like everyone that I found was
makes a physicist. Sense.
Right. And they were like, so I think when they're like, okay, well, I'm gonna do a study, and I'm gonna prove that this is bullshit or whatever. But when those people that think in that way study it, they're like, oh, but I have to become an expert first.
Yeah.
And there's too much.
That's why we have branches. That's why we have astrologers who only do these types of things in their astrology work, and then others do because you cannot, it is humanly impossible for one person to know every single thing there is to know about astrology. It is not possible.
Yeah.
Like I know of astrologers who've done it for 50 years. That's 50 years.
Yeah.
And they're still learning new things.
Yeah. So, I mean, I still have hope that, you know, several of these physicists will be like, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to do a study.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the thing that slows my personal study down, because it's like, I do some study here and like I do some comparing and like I study ADHD, how it presents, neurodivergence in general. And I also do the serial killer stuff, right?
Yeah.
But then like something pops up and I'm like, oh, I don't know how that works. I need to study how that works. And then I'm back into learning more about astrology. It's like,
right. Yeah.
It definitely slows the study down.
It's pretty easy to get lost in the sauce for sure.
Yeah.
And then it's like, here's 20,000 obscure asteroids. Just no big deal.
Sure. Just let's do that real quick. Mm-hmm. All of them.
All of them. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay. Well, do all the things. Click all the buttons.
I think especially subscribe on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I mean, subscribe everywhere, I guess. But like, for some reason, I started getting really focused on who is and isn't subscribed on YouTube. So do that.
Yeah, subscribe on YouTube. You can find us in all the podcast apps. You can find us on TikTok. Click all the share buttons and the like buttons and do all the fun.
Yeah, I mean, obviously follow us on there, because that's what this whole episode was about.
Yes, yes. And also, we share other stuff on TikTok too. Like we talk about animal communication, we talk about mediumship, we talk about just everyday sort of astrology. So there's lots more things on TikTok that are not in the podcast, at least not yet. So
yeah,
definitely go check that out. And we will see you next time, I guess.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.